This morning, I'd like to set a thought before you and leave plenty of time for Brother Tyler this morning and ask for the Lord's blessing. In Hebrews chapter 3, there's a thought that's set before us concerning the faithfulness of Christ over his house. The faithfulness of Christ over his house. I think that ties in very well to what Brother Joe just set before us. Faithfulness of God towards his people. Chapter 3, we read this, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was very faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." This is an amazing parallel, yes, but ultimately a contrast between the faithfulness of Moses and the faithfulness of Christ, which is an amazing thing to say that it's a contrast, because Moses was amazingly faithful. When you think about the leadership of Moses and his faithfulness, yes, to the people of God, but ultimately to God himself, and the high bar that he set for that faithfulness and the high bar and esteem that he had in the nation of Israel's minds. And yet, Paul here doesn't just draw a parallel. He draws a point of contrast. And I love thinking about Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our profession. I love thinking beyond men and thinking to who Jesus is and what he has done for us, because I'm strongly encouraged whenever I consider the high priest and the apostle of our profession, Jesus Christ. And as we consider this passage, I want you to think about the structure that I think Paul is using here. And I believe it's fair to say that he's saying, by faith he, and by faith we. By faith he, and by faith we. Now, I would like to you just to consider that it's the faithfulness of Christ that's under consideration more than the faithfulness of Moses. Here it says that he was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. Consider just a moment the faithfulness of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, as it gives us the short version, right? The condensed version of Moses's walk of faith, his faithfulness towards God. Here he says, in verse 23, if you want to turn there in Hebrews chapter 11, says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I love this point that this isn't speaking of Moses' faith, but this is speaking of Moses' parents' faith. That his parents knew that it was right to keep their child alive, and they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And they didn't fear man's commandments, but they had utmost respect and reverence towards the commandments of God over the commandments of God. That's fearing the Lord rather than fearing man. And then we switch to the life of Moses. He says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years," here's Moses' decision, "refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." He had the option for the easy road in life. He had the option to skip a lot of the trials and a lot of the sufferings of life, but he said it's better to be with the people of God than it is to take that easy road. And here he says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ. Not the glory bestowed by Christ, not the benefits bestowed by Christ, but the slander and the struggles that he received because he followed Christ as better than the riches that he had access to. By faith he forsook Egypt. And I love this, how it says, "not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Isn't faith just a marvelous gift in our life? You know, oftentimes we just make it so abstract. I love how Hebrews 11 makes it real and concrete for each one of us right from the get-go. Do you know how Hebrews 11, where we're reading from, starts out with, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but then he brings it home to us very quickly. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. When you walk out to the Pacific Ocean, how'd it get there? What does your faith inside tell you? That there is a God who created the vastness of this universe, and his creation resonates with the creation within you, that creation of God, and says, there is a creator, and the one who made all of this glory has also done a work inside of me. Amen. Do you realize that's faith within you? That's that gift from God by which we can look at this world and come to a different conclusion than some people come to. We can look through an eye of faith and see there's a God who created this universe and behold just a small piece of his glory of his creation. Isn't that amazing to think of? Now, Paul makes that real for each and every one of us, that we have that experience. And he says that internal evidence is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's that faith within you, that evidence within you of the reality of who God is, of his goodness, and the benefit of walking with him through this life. Because he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's so much in that phrase. He says, for him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, it's more than that there just is a God, but that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, do we have that principle of faith at work in our life? If you do you know where you got it from? God has dealt unto you the measure of faith. You have been blessed with that gift in your life. And this passage shows us all these individuals who exercise that faith in their life. And he says that we all, I love how he starts with we, and then he goes to they, and then he goes back to us, and then it goes back to him, and then it goes back to us. Say, so what does that mean? Well, he says we all have this gift of faith. There are generations of God's people who have lived by that faith. It's been given to us in this generation to use it in this generation. But you need to know that there's one who ultimately used and walked by faith perfectly, and he's the one we look to as the author and the finisher of our faith. By the way, I rejoice in the children in this church. How about you? Do you rejoice?
Amen.
Amen. Now, when we think about this tremendous gift of faith, look what it did in Moses' life. How faithful he was to God despite his adverse circumstances. He knew what God had called him to do, and he strove to faithfully do it in his life. Was he perfect? No. We can go, and I love how Scripture is so honest about the leaders in the Bible, so honest about David, and so honest about Moses, and so honest about their pitfalls and their sins. But overall, Moses was faithful. He was a faithful servant of God. Contrast one in Hebrews chapter 3. Jesus isn't merely a servant. Jesus is the Son. Do you know that a son is going to take better care of the house than a servant? They are more invested in the well-being of the house. And that's a great contrast. That's contrast one. I believe another contrast, though, is here's Moses, a fallen, sinful man. Here's Christ, the Son of God, perfect and holy and righteous, and he's the son of the house. Wow. You know, even though Moses had good intentions, sometimes he did things wrong. How about Jesus? Not a time. He never has let his house down, and he never will. Brother Joe, in your faithful ministry, I count you as a faithful brother. Do you have moments when you look back and you say, I wish I would have and I wish I could have? And they're painful. Do you know, I don't believe that's the case with Jesus. When he said it is finished upon the cross, he came down to do that which his Father had entrusted him to do, and he did it, and he accomplished it. And he was faithful, yes, to his house, but ultimately faithful to God, his Father. You know, the wonderful passage here that we're considering in Hebrews 3, he says, consider the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the apostle, the called one, the high priest. He's been given that role of our profession, Christ Jesus. And he was faithful. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, as a testimony to those things which we spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. So if Moses was exercising faith and faithfulness towards his house, Christ was exercising faith and faithfulness towards his house, but to a far greater degree, to a point of contrast. And I love what this says. He says, but as a son over his own house, over his own house. And he says, whose house are we? If we continue to hold, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. You know, that tells us that we are, I believe, active participants in his house and under his care as we continue to what? To walk by faith, to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, and to continue to press forward in his service. We have those rich blessings of being a member of his house. Church is the household of God, where there's particular care given by God upon his people. You know, there's that, I believe he's making a picture here. Consider the faithfulness of Christ. It's even in contrast to the faithfulness of Moses. And now consider our faithfulness to God. You talk about a contrast. But he sets the mark. He sets the goal. He sets the target. And he says, here's where you aim. You know, even the Apostle Paul in his ministry, he didn't say, follow me. Follow me. What did he say? Follow me as I follow Christ. You know, it's never a minister's goal to have a following. It's a minister's goal for his true minister's goal for his flock, his people, to follow Christ, to be disciples or followers of Christ, not to come to church, not to come to a minister, but to, as Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the minister can't give you rest. The church can't give you rest. But it's Jesus Christ whom we find rest in today. And here the picture is the faithfulness of Christ. And he causes us to, by faith he and by faith we. You know, that isn't saying that we need to of ourselves and in our own strength be faithful like Christ. He's saying you're part of this house. You have the same power of God at work in your life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Consider the closing verses of Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to go through all the examples. Brother Tyler, get ready. But if you look at that pattern of by faith he and by faith we, and you look at just the big picture, if you will, of Hebrews 11, it talks about how we, by faith, can all look at this world around us and know that God created it, right? And then he talks, by faith, they. Look at what the generations of God's people who use faith did through life. And we can recount them, and we can think about them, and we can stand in wonder of them. I think of them as the footprints of the flock. I think some ministries, I'm convinced I've heard that somewhere before. As the footprints of the flock through this passage, quoting from Solomon. How that there were those who offered sacrifice and praise to God. I love that song that we sing, how can I, a lowly mortal, how can we praise God? By faith. How do we please God? How did Enoch please God and walk with God? By faith. How was Noah a blessing in his generation and feared God? By faith. How did we receive the understanding of these exceedingly precious promises in this life? It's by faith. How do we continue a mindset of seeking for a country that's better? It's by faith. How do we give hope? Ooh, this is a big one right now. To future generations. You say, it's just going to get worse and worse. Can I just say that that perspective is not biblical? Do you know why? Jesus Christ is returning. How do we give hope to future generations? By faith. How do we choose God's people and kingdom over the kingdom of this world? By faith. How do we willingly suffer for the cause of Christ? By faith. How do we pass the faith to the next generation? Guess what? By faith. And all of these tasks that people have done before, they didn't even have as much as we have in the revelation of the truth of the gospel. And yet it's been passed to us today. So we have by faith we, by faith they. But then in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us." And he says, ultimately, we look through all these generations. We have such a great cloud of witness. But is that ultimately where our eyes should be? There's a supreme example. As a minister put it, who wrote the book on faith. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Do you want to see what faith really looks like? Don't look at Moses. Look at Jesus, who for the joy who is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And what Paul is saying, keep on the path of faith. Follow others as it helps you, but know that that's not the goal. The goal is to look to Christ and to follow after him. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.